In gardening, we often think that without a lot of time spent in the hot sun, weeding and whatnot, that we won't get much out of our garden. But happily, some really smart folks have come up with great techniques that can keep the fun in gardening without a lot of back-breaking work. Hi, I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in today for Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You might be checking your calendar to see if it's Friday and our usual garden talk show. But since it's such a busy time out in the garden right now, we thought a little extra help would be welcome. Joel Karsten is an author, lecturer, and gardening pioneer in Minnesota. He's developed a unique gardening method that he details in Straw Bale Gardens, the breakthrough method for growing vegetables anywhere, earlier, and with no weeding. I know a lot of our listeners, and I know Larry has tried it, there's a lot of interest in this technique, so we thought we'd have Joel back on. Joel, welcome back to the show. Joel, are you there? Joel? All right, we'll try to get Joel on the line. But in the meantime, I will let you know tomorrow at 11, Dr. Carrie Donahue joins us to talk about holistic pet care. We'll find out about some natural remedies to help pets during summer travel and how to keep our furry friends calm during thunderstorms and fireworks. And then we will also be talking, we'll have another garden show on Friday. We'll be talking with Neil DeBull of Prairie Nursery. He'll be giving us great advice for how to incorporate native plants, that includes prairie plants and woodland plants and some grasses, ferns, into our landscapes and what the great advantages are of having native plants. But we are going to be talking with Joel Karsten in just a few minutes. We're just having a little trouble getting him on the line. But he will be with us to talk about the straw bale gardening technique, and we will be talking with him about that. And I know that Larry planted, I think, just one bale last year, but was so pleased with the results that he's got about four ready to go already right now. And he was really happy with it. And he always says one of the best things is that there is just no dirt to get off of those vegetables. So we'll hear all about what a straw bale is, how it differs from a hay bale, why there's so much less weeding to do, whether there's still time to get started. It's as often happens in the upper Midwest, we went from feeling still pretty wintry to summery overnight. But there will still be time, I am sure, to get those bales going and enjoy the benefits of straw bale gardens. So again, we are going to be talking with Joel Karsten in just a bit. While we're waiting to get him on the line, let's listen to a recent Wisconsin Life piece that was about trilliums, not something that you would plant in a straw bale, but something that many of us enjoy around this time of year. So let's take a listen to that now.
Walking through damp woods after a days-long road trip from central Texas to central Wisconsin, I spot them. White, triangular blooms in sharp contrast to the dark ground cover shaded with pines. Trilliums, I say in surprise to my mother-in-law, Agnes, who wears sandals but follows me anyway into the trees of her yard in Stratford. The trillium, a native plant, hides in the damp woodlands of Wisconsin, similar to the rainy shadows where I'd grown up in Washington State. Years ago, I'd combed my own forested backyard for the white blooms with a reddish tint, on the hunt not only for the flower, but also for a change in the season. "There's more over here," says Agnes. She has a natural green thumb and is just as excited about the flowers as I am, despite the miles we've just traveled, two couples and a pug in a blue pickup. Each trillium bloom grows on a separate foot-high stalk. Three broad leaves circle the top, crowned with a trio of white petals and dusty gold stamen in the middle. A closer look reveals veins of pink, a tint taking over the flower and turning it purple as the flower ages into early summer. The white or large flower trillium, a common variety in the Midwest, is a close cousin to the Pacific trillium I grew up with. My brother, Kent, cautioned me not to pick the trilliums of our Northwest home, out of fear the slow-growing flowers wouldn't return. Each flower takes 2 years to form leaves and another five to bloom. Long seasons worth waiting for. So intent was Ken on protecting the flowers, he'd count them, keeping careful tabs on each year's floral harvest. I wonder about these tallies now, whether they served as a naturalist's tool, a measure of how wild the forest stayed despite our presence, or a reassurance winter had ended. Agnes stays intent on the flowers, not counting them, but coming close in her search for more. She finds a few patches, some abundant as snow, on the wooded acreage of my in-law's farmland. My husband and I visit the trillium patches during our stay, monitoring the visible progression of the flowers from bright white to faint strains of lavender. After we fly back to Austin, Agnes sends us trillium photos, the blooms pink-striped at first, and a deeper purple later with a lengthening light. Now, from a home in Polonia, I anticipate the trillium's return at my in-laws or my own backyard. Each flower both a memory and a promise of warmer days ahead.
Wisconsin Life is a collaboration between Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television. You can learn more about it at their website, wisconsinlife.org. It is produced by Erica Janik. And now we are happy to have Joel Karsten join us. He is, as I said, an author, lecturer, and gardening pioneer in Minnesota, and he's developed the gardening method of straw bale gardening. He joins us today from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio. Joel, welcome back to the program. Joel? Well, we're still having some trouble. I'm sorry about that. Really sorry to keep you waiting, because I know a lot of you are interested in doing the straw bale gardening. Kim on Facebook said she tried it last year and it worked great. She says the trick is finding straw at a decent price. And Tad on Facebook said, it's the second year for us. We tripled to 24 bales this year. They do dry out, but we have a soaker hose set on a timer and it works perfectly, and no weeding. And we will also be finding out how to condition the bales. There is no earth involved or no dirt. So what basically the straw bale becomes a nice compost box of compost that you're planting right in. So there are plenty of nutrients and lots to feed those plants. And let's see if Joel is there. Hi, Joel. Joel, are you there? All right. We're going to keep trying to get Joel Karsten on the line. Again, I'm Judith Sears-Poisson sitting in for Larry Mueller. We're glad to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And just because we're having a little trouble getting Joel Karsten on the line, I'll let you know that tomorrow we will be talking about holistic pet care. Joel, are you there?
Are you there, Judith?
Can you hear me? There we go. Great. We've got you.
I've been having some great conversations here. The only problem is you can't hear me on the other end.
Well, and I've been talking to myself, but you know what? We're together now, and that's what counts.
Well, I actually learned a couple of things listening to you.
Well, that's good. Well, I'm glad to have you to talk with me and with our listeners, and I will invite them to come in to the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also leave a question or comment on our Facebook page. That's the Larry Mueller Show, M-E-I-L-L-E-R. And I put up 6 photos that, Joel, you had given us last year when you were first on illustrating the straw bale gardening method. So people can take a look there and get a real good visual of what this all means. So, Joel, let's start with that basic question that I'm guessing a fair number of our listeners are asking. What is straw bale gardening? Why do you call it nature's perfect planting container?
You know, that's a great question to start with. I get that a lot. Obviously, people come along and they say, "What? You plant right in the straw bales?" I don't know if I get it. If you really just think about the straw bale as being a container, it's both your container and the media that you normally would buy to fill up your container. What's going to happen is we're going to add some nitrogen to this bale and some water. You can do this organically or you can do it using regular old lawn fertilizer. And that nitrogen is going to feed the naturally occurring bacteria inside of that straw bale. And like Mother Nature would do on her own sweet time, 6 months or a year down the road, she would decompose the inside of that bale. We're just going to accelerate that process by feeding the bacteria. They build up their population inside the bale, and they very quickly colonize the bale and start to eat the straw and turn it into soil. In the early stages, we would call it compost, but it's really the beginning stages of soil. So we're creating a brand new bale filled with soil inside. over the period of this summer. Now, there's lots of advantages, you can imagine, to planting in brand new virgin soil. There's no carryover of disease from last year's garden. There's no carryover of insects from last year's garden. And there's none of those weed seeds that we find all over in the topsoil in all of our vegetable gardens, because this is brand new soil inside the bale. So it's really pretty fundamentally, you know, the biology is pretty fundamental and it's pretty simple what happens. It's not a lot of rocket science here. It's pretty simple. We get our hands on a straw bale and we treat it for about 10 or 12 days before we can plant into it in order to get the bale ready. If you plant directly into a dry bale of straw, you're not going to have very good luck. So you do need to condition it before you plant into it.
Well, and we have had soil scientists on the show many times before, and I certainly have come to appreciate what a dynamic substance soil is. I mean, it's easy to look at it and think, ah, it's dirt, but really soil is this kind of teeming, you know, really vibrant, dynamic material. And as you're saying, we're planting directly into kind of this, you know, black gold.
You're right, Judith. It's really, it's Mother Nature has five basic tools that she uses to decompose everything that's ever been alive. She decomposes them using insects and worms, and then bacteria, fungi, and mold. And all five of those tools will work together to turn any substrate that's ever been alive back into soil. So sometimes when you look at good black dirt, it's really decomposed organic material, something that at one point was alive, now is decomposed and has become soil. And out of that, whatever that substrate was that was alive, out of that comes all of your nutrients, your nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, you know, and then all the micro elements that plants need, molybdenum, zinc, iron, calcium. All of these macro and micronutrients are present from this decomposed organic material inside the bale.
And I want to invite people to call with their questions and comments. 1-800-642-1234 is the number. Carl Christensen, our on-air producer today. And I want to go to Dan in Partyville because I think he has a question that a lot of people might be contemplating. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. You already hit on the conditioning part. I live in Partyville just by Portage. Is it too late for me to start?
Hi, Dan. Thanks for the call. Absolutely not. You certainly can get started. I would get started quickly if I were you, though. You know, the summer is going to pass us by here before we know it. It seems like it just got here. And
exactly.
All of a sudden, it's 85 degrees.
But as usual, goes from almost winter to the middle of the summer overnight.
Here's the advantage you have, Dan, at this point. If I start conditioning my bales in late April, it's pretty cool outside. The air temperatures are pretty cool, and therefore that bacteria has to work pretty hard to build up its colony inside of that bale because, you know, part of it is trying to keep warm at the same time. Right now, the temperatures are nice and warm. So you'll see those bales will condition even faster and you'll get faster bacterial growth. It may not take the full 10 to 12 days to get those bales ready to plant. You may be able to plant them in 8 days or so. But I would get your straw bales and get started, put some nitrogen on them and get them wet. And that bacteria will start to grow. And the reason you'll see it isn't because you can see the bacteria. Remember, these are microorganisms. So they're smaller than you can see with the naked eye inside the bale. But you can feel them. If you put your hand inside that bale, you'll see it gets really hot inside there. People oftentimes ask me, well, will it spontaneously combust? No, you don't have to worry about that. It's going to be wet. And we don't have a huge pile of straw here. If you make great big huge piles, then that could be an issue. But regular old straw bales is not going to be compressed enough in order to worry about that. But your bale is going to be soaking wet, hopefully, as well. So you'll feel it, though. But if you stick your hand inside there, you'll see even if the air temperature is 80, 85 degrees outside, it'll be 130 or 140 degrees inside that bale. And that's just the bacteria. You know, when bacteria grow, they reproduce and for some reason, I don't know why this happens, but they vibrate as they're colonizing, as they're reproducing and dividing and colonizing that bale. And that vibration is what causes that increase in temperature. So you'll see a spike in temperature for a few days, and then it will cool off just a little bit. And then you know that bale's conditioned and it's ready to plant.
Wow. That would be a fascinating thing to see in some kind of a video that could pick that up, our little vibrating straw bale garden.
Yep, they're super microscopic, Judith. You can't see them with the naked eye. But You can feel them, that's for sure, or stick your temperature probe if you steal a meat thermometer out of your wife's kitchen drawer and stick that in there. That works pretty good.
We are talking with Joel Karsten about the straw bale gardening technique, and he's happy to answer your questions if you've tried it and something might not have gone quite as the way you expected it to, or if you're itching to get started and you wonder what you need to do exactly. Joel is happy to answer your questions. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Judith Sears Poisson, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about straw bale gardening with Joel Karsten, who originated the system. And how did you come up with it, Joel? It's not necessarily something that you would look at a straw bale and think, I bet I can turn that into my garden.
Well, I'll tell you, it started a long, long time ago. When I was a little kid, I grew up on a little crop and dairy farm down in the southwest corner of Minnesota. And every once in a while, we'd have a string that would break on a bale of straw. Dad would throw the bale up against the barn. And 6 months later, you'd see great big tall thistles growing out of that bale. And even as a little kid, I would notice that the biggest, healthiest, tallest, greenest thistles were the ones coming out of these decomposing bales. And the ones growing in the soil right next to it, you know, were half as big. And I would question why that always happened to my dad, my grandma, who was really our garden expert on the farm. And they really didn't know. You know, they said there's probably some moisture and some fertility as it starts to decompose. Then we fast forward about 15 years, and I buy my first house as a recent college graduate with a degree in horticulture. And I discover that the home I bought had 1 inch of topsoil covering the whole yard. And as a horticulturist, you know, you're not going to garden very much in 1 inch of topsoil. And I also had very little money because I just bought a house and I was a recent college graduate. So I didn't have the funds to build raised beds, which is what a normal gardener would do, just build raised beds and bring in compost and go to work. But at this point, I had a little more education and I knew what was happening inside of those bales. And I thought, why couldn't I try growing tomatoes? If it'll grow successfully thistles and other weeds, why wouldn't it grow tomatoes and peppers? So I got some bales and I started doing a bunch of experiments, and one thing leads to another, and it worked really, really well. We discovered very early on, within a couple months of when we first planted, some of the advantages, you know, the fact that there wasn't any weeds and that these bales get nice and warm. That's one of the big advantages, especially if you're a northerner like we are. You get started a little bit earlier because when you treat these bales, they warm up. That warmth doesn't go away right away. So it'll stick around for about 6 weeks during this conditioning process. And you can put your tomatoes on the middle of May into a bale that's 80 or 100 degrees instead of in the soil that's 45 or 50 degrees.
Right. And we often talk about how it's really that plants don't like having cold, wet feet that often stuns them.
Right. And we started to discover some of these advantages. You know, in the beginning, it was just sort of trial and error, see if it would work. And it did. And then I started to break down, well, why is this working so well? And what are the conditions here that make this work so well? And, you know, and then refining the process a little bit every year for over the last 20 some odd years. And I've got a pretty good system now. I tell people, if you follow the methods I give you step by step, you will not fail. You will be a successful gardener. You know, not everything everybody plants is always going to, you know, be terrific results, but most things are successful enough that people get really excited about gardening. And that's really what I want, is I want people to try it and sort of get them hooked on this method of gardening. I tell people, if you just try a couple bales, you'll get hooked, and the next year you'll be back and you'll double or triple how many you're doing. That happens over and over again. I hear it all the time from people.
Well, so I mentioned earlier that Tad on Facebook said it's the second year for them and they tripled to 24 bales this year.
Yep.
So that's a pretty pretty big outfit there. Well, you mentioned tomatoes, Joel. Are there other vegetables that really seem to just love this way of gardening?
Oh, there's so many. All of your warm season crops really like the straw bales. You'll love how peppers do. You'll love how cucumbers do. And a lot of your vine crops, melons, watermelons, squash, pumpkins, you know, just and a lot of the leafy greens. If you like kale and chard and lettuce and spinach, they just do amazingly well on the straw bales. And it's like they'll go all summer long. Really also makes it easy. If you're like me, I like to pull my lettuce out rather than cutting it off. I like to pull it out by the roots and then put a nice wet towel around those roots, because my head of lettuce will last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks in the fridge rather than 2 or 3 days if you cut it. And it's really easy to do that in a straw bale because the substrate is so nice and loose that you can easily pull that root right out. It makes it really easy.
Well, we will talk more about what does especially well and maybe things that are better planted in other methods. But let's go back to the phones because we have quite a few people waiting. Judy in Grafton is up next. Hi, Judy.
Good morning. I was so eager to try this year and got my two bales. Actually, I picked them up last fall. They were sitting outside all winter, so I put them into the area I wanted them this spring and thought, well, I'm going to let the rain get them nice and wet, and then I'll start with the conditioning. Well, when I went to do the conditioning, all green, I don't know if it's grass or quack or what, it's just growing out of it, and so now I don't know if I could use them.
Oh, yeah, sure you can, Judy. All you need is a little of my magic vinegar herbicide. It works great.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, just take a couple of cups of vinegar and a teaspoon or so of table salt and a teaspoon or so of dish soap mixed up in a cake pan, and then use your old sponge mop you've got laying around. Dunk it in that cake pan and wipe it on any of those sprouts, especially on a warm day like today. They'll be dead within 24 or 48 hours. All your little sprouts will be dead. All that's happened is you just got a bale from a farmer that didn't have, you know, really efficient grain removal equipment or combining equipment. So he didn't get all of the seeds off of those bales of oats or wheat straw. And there's a few seeds left in the outside edges of that bale. But you'll see when you go through the conditioning process, the inside of the bale gets nice and warm. So any viable seeds in the inside, those are going to be heat treated. And usually they're not viable after that conditioning period. But if you get seeds stuck in the outside crust, those are the ones that are going to sprout early on. Once you get rid of them, either wipe them with that vinegar or you can pull them out with your fingers if you want. After that, you won't see any more sprouts coming out of there. It'll just be the seeds that you put in the bale or the plants that you plant into the bale.
Pardon me?
It'll only be the plants that you plant in the bale or the seeds that you put on top of the bale. That'll be the only sprouts you're going to get once you get rid of those original sprouts.
Okay.
So, yeah, you definitely can use those bales.
When using your vinegar mixture, I don't dump that into the bale. You're saying I should wipe it across the top of that grass.
Yeah, definitely don't dump it on. I even don't suggest people use a spray bottle. Some people will use a spray bottle to put it on. But wherever you spray that stuff, it's going to leave residue. And remember that vinegar can change the pH of its surroundings because it's very acidic. So
and salt isn't great either.
So just wipe it on. All the salt is for is an abrasive to sort of get the wax off the leaves of those little sprouts, and then the dish soap is on there as a surfactant to get that vinegar to stick to it. And then the vinegar does its work. Vinegar, really acetic acid is all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that will knock those little sprouts backwards for sure. Sometimes it does take two applications, especially if you do it on a day that's not real warm and sunny. So if you pick a day like today when it's warm and sunny, you should have pretty good effect.
Thanks for that call, Judy. And Judy was talking about your response to Judy was actually a non-pesticide kind of way to get rid of those stray grasses. Susan asked on Facebook, she said, I've thought about trying it, but would need to know where to buy the straw bales and how to know they are not full of pesticides. Joel, is that in general, it's certainly an understandable concern. Is it are there a lot of straw bales that might be treated with pesticides?
Well, it is definitely a concern. I tell people you should always know the provenance of your bales so you can ask that farmer, you know, what did you use on these bales to make sure he didn't use something that's off-label use and for whatever reason is going to linger. But in most cases, in all the cases that I've heard of over the years, tens and hundreds of thousands of straw bales that have been used, I've only heard two reports from people that were legitimately discovered to be some kind of an herbicide that lingered inside the bale. So it's very rare that that will happen. And one of the things, if you look up how herbicides dissipate or how they volatilize or become mediated, it's by bacterial activity.
Hmm.
And it's the warmth when these bales get warm and the bacteria go to work inside there. If there happened to be any herbicide residue, that's going to get mediated by that activity of the bacteria. So we're sort of putting them through exactly the process that you would use to get rid of hydrocarbons and other things like that could possibly be inside those bales.
And actually, the question that Judy asked about how to get rid of those grasses that were sprouting up, I know this question has come up before. What's the difference between a straw bale and a hay bale?
Well, straw is the stalk portion only after the seeds have been removed of your cereal grain crops or your small grains like oats and wheat and barley and rice. It's usually used in agriculture as animal bedding. Where hay is baled grasses or baled alfalfa, and it's usually used in agriculture as fodder, food for livestock. There isn't a lot of nutrients left in the stalks of the oats and the wheat and the barley, but there are lots of nutrients in the seed heads of grass and in the stalks of the grass plant, as well as alfalfa. But the problem with using grass bales is, of course, if you have a bale filled with all these seed heads, and then you water it and fertilize it, well, you get a chia pet that grows in your in your garden. It sprouts hair. And you get a lot of, instead of just a few sprouts, like Judy was talking about, you get a whole bale that's solid sprouts. And so you have to deal with that before you can plant. Now, I'm not saying you can't do that. You certainly can and be successful. A lot of my gardeners down in southern United States, in Florida and places like that, they don't have oats and wheat and barley down there, but they have a lot of grass. So grass bales are really cheap down there. Grass hay, and that's what a lot of my gardeners use down there, and they do it very successfully. So it doesn't have to be oats and wheat and barley, but it just makes it easier because usually those bales are going to be fairly clean.
All right, thanks for that call. Let's go back to the phones, and Michelle in Madison is up next. Hi, Michelle.
Hi there.
Hi.
This straw bale process sounds like a really intriguing idea, and I'm curious if this is like virgin soil, is there some stuff missing from it? I've recently been learning about mycorrhizae, and I'm wondering, is that something that would be missing from the soil and possibly make the plants not grow as well as they could?
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for the question. That's a good question. Well, if you think about what we talked about earlier, what is good quality soil? Well, it's an environment that's filled with decomposing organic material, and it's filled with bacteria and fungus and mold and bacteria and, you know, insects and worms, and they're all working together to do this decomposition, really this digestion process of all of this organic material, and turn it into soluble forms of nutrients. So there's really nothing missing. I mean, if you took a bale of straw and decomposed it and spread it out on the ground, you wouldn't be able to tell it in a year or two from traditional humus that we all garden in, mm-hmm. and have lots of experience with. It's just that it's in its earlier stages during this early decomposition. And we've done all kinds of Brix tests and other things on the vegetables produced in the straw bale gardens, and there's absolutely no difference from traditional soil to what you're going to grow in a straw bale. So there's nothing missing at all. It's all there. It's just regular old soil.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks for the call, Michelle. And I wanted to let people know on the Facebook page, we put up some photos that Joel had provided to us, but also Josh posted, I think, Joel, you're going to find this very interesting. Josh says, I started a large straw bale garden this spring with 100 bales. My micro farm is named Halcyon Farm and is located just outside of Madison near Fitchburg. So far, I'm very happy with the outcome. The labor involved with initial setup was heavy, getting the bales from a local farmer, positioning them in the pasture, setting up the irrigation system, conditioning them with blood meal, bone meal, and wood ash. But now that all of our plants are in and growing, it's easy. I need to pull a few wheat grass weeds once in a while, but that's it. And these bale rows will slowly decompose and eventually become hugel culture rows to continuously plant in for years to come. He says, I love this method of no-till gardening. I plan to use it year after year to help build up my fallow pasture. And he says an additional plus is the bales act as a windbreak for their chicken tractors.
Well, there you go.
And he also posted a link to their with photos and videos on their Tumblr blog. Again, it's Halcyon Farms, Halcyon Farms. There's a link on the Facebook page where people can search for that. So it sounds like somebody, Josh, is really taking your method to heart and running with it.
Yes, for sure. And solving a problem with that fallow soil that he has that you know, hasn't been very productive. That's a big issue. You know, we have a lot of straw bale gardeners all over the world, not just here in the United States, but remember, there are places in Europe, in France and Germany, where they've used that soil for 3,000 mm-hmm. or 5,000 years. And, you know, a lot of our soil, we've screwed up in a couple of hundred years. So you can imagine after using it for thousands of years that some of the soils over there are really not very productive anymore. And they're just nuts about this method of gardening over there. It's really become popular. Actually, on a per capita basis, probably more popular there than it is here in the United States, believe it or not.
Wow.
So it's done really well over there, too.
And we got a couple emails asking that you repeat your vinegar herbicide recipe. Can you do that for us, Joel?
Well, they call it a recipe, but it's not. I don't really use it. I mean, I just dump it together. You're going to need a couple of cups of vinegar, kind of depending on how many bales you have. You might need a whole half gallon if you got a lot of bales. If you did it with a half gallon, you'd need about a quarter of a cup of salt and about a tablespoon or tablespoon and a half of dish soap. And then mix until the salt dissolves and you're ready to go.
All right.
So it's pretty simple.
Pretty easy recipe.
You can scale it down from that. Yeah. A couple of cups and then maybe a tablespoon or tablespoon and a half of salt and a teaspoon of dish soap. Just kind of scale it down if you're going to only need a couple of cups. If you only have a couple of bales, like Judy had, you probably don't need a whole half gallon. So.
Great. And let's go back to the phones, and Dennis in Ripon is next. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. I tried this last year for the first time, and it worked out great. Anybody who's thinking about it, I would recommend getting the book. The only problem I found is that when all the neighbors saw it, one of them was a member of a local garden club. They came over, looked at it about midsummer, saw how great it worked, and the price of straw went up this year. When
Oh, Dennis, you're not the first person I've heard that from. They all blame me for the price of straw going through the roof.
But it did work fantastic. I had, great tomatoes. Cabbage worked great. It was just, and nobody could believe that it was no weeds. It just was fantastic.
Well, that's a great supporter there, I tell you. I'll send you your check later, Dennis. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks for that call, Dennis. And actually, that brings up a good question. I mean, I'm sure it varies, from part of the country to other parts of the country and even, between maybe Minnesota and Wisconsin. But, Joel, can you give people a sense, if they've never gone out and bought a straw bale before, what are we talking, $2, $20? What's an average price?
I wish it was still $2. No, it's about $5 in some parts. If you get to the more urban areas, it can be $7. If you go to the real high-end garden center, you might pay $8 or $9 for a bale. But if you can get still to the farmer in a rural area, I know I did a couple of talks up in Wisconsin and northern Wisconsin and a couple of different areas, and they said, $350 is our going price up here. So it's still pretty reasonable, especially if you can get the bales. I tell people, once you've done this in the spring and you know you're going to do it the next spring, start looking for your bales in the fall, because you're going to see a lot more bales around in the fall of the year when people are using them for decoration and, for insulation and all that kind of stuff. Get dibs on those bales in the fall, and you can even have them delivered. And then put them right out in your yard where you're going to use them and let them get snowed on and rained on. It won't hurt a thing. And the next spring, you're going to roll them over in position and condition them, and you'll be ready to go.
Sounds like a good thing to be doing when you're taking kids around trick-or-treating and there
That's
are all
right.
those Halloween decorations.
You'd be surprised when you become a straw bale gardener. You start to see straw bales everywhere. You're the nativity scene that the church up the street sets up. You're like, hey, what are you guys doing with those bales when you're done? It becomes a something that's you're much more aware of once you become a straw bale gardener, that's for sure.
We are talking with Joel Karsten. He is the originator of the straw bale gardening method, and he's happy to answer your questions, whether you have done it before or are just hearing about it for the first time. He's happy to help you get started when you call in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or send us an email at talk@wpr.org. You can also post a question, comment, or a photo of your straw bale garden. We'd love to see that on our Facebook page. That's The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller and talking with Joel Karsten. He's the author of Straw Bale Gardens, the breakthrough method for growing vegetables anywhere, earlier, and with no weeding. He's joining us today from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio. And Joel, thanks again for spending time with us today.
I'm happy to be here, Judith. Very happy.
And, you know, there really is so much interest in this kind of gardening for so many different reasons. One thing that I think is really great about it that we haven't talked about is that it can be made very accessible for people who might have mobility issues or issues bending over. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I always tell people this is the perfect way for the seasoned gardeners among us to continue gardening, even into older age. As my grandma Josephine always used to say, getting down on the ground is not the hard part, kids. It's getting back up. That's where I have trouble. And so that, of course, becomes a limiting factor. As you get older, you can't get down on the ground as easy. People who need a chair, a wheelchair to get around, this is a great way for them to be able to continue gardening because it's at the perfect height. And the big advantage is you don't have to have soil at all. I mean, you can set these bales up in a parking lot if that was what you wanted to do, or on top of concrete. And now if you were used a wheelchair, you could easily get around in that chair on that hard surface and be able to wheel up and down the rows between these rows of straw bales. So it makes it really accessible for anyone. You know, all of us like to not have to get down on the ground, you know, but it certainly makes it easier to keep your knees clean on your jeans that you're gardening in. But, you know, especially for people with any kind of a physical difficulty, leg problems, knee problems, back problems, it makes it real easy for them.
We had a question. We've talked about a variety of vegetables that have worked well. Daniel asks on Facebook, have you tried beets in straw bale gardening and do they taste any different?
Yeah, they don't taste any different. They still taste like dirt. If you're a fan of beets, you'll love the beets you get out of the straw bales. They grow really well. They get a nice early start. They tend to germinate very quickly from seed because you have that nice warmth underneath. That's one of the advantages is your seeds that you plant, you'll see germinate very quickly, and they grow really quickly as young sprouts because of the heat coming out of the inside of that bale. The little roots that come out seek that heat down inside the bale, so they'll grow very quickly. Now, when you create a seed bed on top of the bale, I encourage people put an inch or inch and a half or so of sterile planting mix on top of the bale. Don't just take your shovel over to your garden and shovel some soil on top of the bale, because if you do that, you're going to bring all kinds of weed seeds. You're going to bring potential disease and potential insects that you don't want and that you don't currently have inside of this brand new environment that you've created, this brand new soil. So use some sterile planting mix on top of the bale. Make an inch or so layer and then put your seeds right in that layer. So you'll see your seeds sprout quickly.
Well, and actually Marion on Facebook had a question that goes really well along with what you just said, Joel. She says, I started straw bale gardening last year and really enjoy it since my land is a little wet and we have always had to wait to plant. But she says, I've wondered if some of my seeds didn't take because they were watered into the bale too deeply. Would it be best to put small seeds in with seed tape or plant them with some regular soil around them? So you said don't use regular soil, but it sounds like she's saying that she thinks that some of those tiny seeds, maybe radishes or carrots or beets, got kind of shoved too far into the bale.
Yeah, and you just need to be careful that when you plant them, you just plant them in the surface on top of that potting mix and then give them a nice light water. You know, if you're planting early in the season, I really encourage people to protect that seed bed for about 10 days or so, because if you get a hard gully washer that comes through, that hard rain can easily disrupt that planting bed on top and it mm-hmm. can wash away some of the potting mix. And if it washes it away, maybe your seeds do fall down. And if they fall into the bale, I mean, everybody, you can look in the top of a straw bale and you can see there's lots of cracks and mm-hmm, those tiny little seeds could easily fall deep down inside that bale and then never reach the surface, never be able to reach the surface. So it is important to have that layer potting mix and then protect that layer. We talk in the book about making little greenhouse covers for over top of the bales. These are just little plastic tents that you can pull over a wire 10 inches above the bale. You put a post on each end of the row of bales and then a wire 10 inches above, drape that poly over the top. And that works really well as a little tent to keep the hard rain off of your planting bed. It also helps hold in the heat. So if you do get your tomatoes out there in the middle of May and then the weather forecaster comes on and says, oh, you know, you shouldn't have planted. It's going to frost tonight. Usually we end up in our pajamas with milk jugs covering up our tomatoes out in the garden. This way, all we have to do is pull this little tent down this line of bales. It covers up all of our plants that we have already in there and it protects them from that cold at night.
And you were talking about a gully washing rain. We got a lot of rain yesterday, and here in downtown Madison, I think they said between 5 and 6 inches in a couple hours. So I'm guessing that there were some regular and straw bale gardens that got a little waterlogged. But one of the great things about those bales is that the water, it doesn't get backed up in there either.
Right. Yeah. You know, bales are filled with air spaces inside. So even if you do get 5 inches of rain and you forgot your soaker hose running all night long, it's not going to really matter because excess water just drains right out the bottom. Now, we don't want to overwater on purpose because if you overwater, you're going to leach nutrients out of that bale. So we don't want to overwater. I tell people if you target 1 minute per bale that you have in your garden with your soaker hose, that's sort of a good time, good amount of time to water. So if you have a 10-bale garden, water for 10 minutes every time you water. And then you can check if your plants look like they're wilting a little bit mid-afternoon, late afternoon, then maybe increase that to 12 or 13 minutes instead of just 10 minutes.
Okay.
But start with 1 minute per bale. And then in the spring and fall, you're only going to need to water every couple days. But in the heat of summer, you're going to need to water every morning. And we're just putting water on the bale, which is filled with roots. So we're not watering the walkways in between the bales and the edge of the driveway and everything else with our overhead sprinklers. We're just using a soaker hose. And that also works really well to keep the foliage of our plants dry. So we just get the roots wet, keep the foliage dry, and that prevents a lot of disease and insect problems in your vegetable garden.
Stella in Sturgeon Bay is up next. Let's go there. Hi, Stella.
Hi. I have three quick questions. The first one is, what is the title of the book that the previous caller referred to?
I'm assuming it's Joel's book, Straw Bale Gardens.
Straw Bale Gardens.
Okay. Yes. And is your last name spelled with a C or a K?
With a K. It's K-A-R-S-T-E-N.
Okay.
You can find it also at strawbalegardens.com. You can find all kinds of information about me and about the book.
Okay. And then my third question is, when you were talking about conditioning the bales, it sounded almost as though you were talking about injecting the nitrogen into the center of the bale. Do you pour it over the top?
Stella, really, all we do is sprinkle it on the top. If you're using dry fertilizer, just sprinkle it on the top and then use your sprayer end, sprayer nozzle on your garden hose and go over the top and try and spray it down in. Sometimes people get real worried if they can still see fertilizer laying on top of their bales. So they'll spend, 10 minutes per bale trying to wash this fertilizer down in. That's really not necessary at all. Just sprinkle it on the top. A minute or so, spray with the hose. You're going to work some of it down in there, even if it all doesn't disappear down into the bale. And then a couple of days later, you're going to come back and add a little bit more, and you're going to spray that down into the bale. And after you're all done conditioning, you may see a little bit of fertilizer sitting on top of that bale, especially if you do this organically and you're using blood meal or, some other organic source, because you have to use more of it because it's less concentrated in nitrogen. And you will tend to get a little accumulation on the top. And for some reason, that drives people crazy. They want it all washed down inside the bale. It's really not necessary. Throughout the summer, as you dig a hole in that bale to plant your tomato or whatever in there, a little bit will fall in. And then every time you water throughout the summer, you're going to carry a little more nitrogen down into that bale. And it really does a great job of sort of evenly, slowly distributing that nitrogen to your plants throughout the summer. Now, nitrogen is very soluble. So the more we water a bale, the more nitrogen we're going to leach out of it. So we don't want to, put too much water on, just enough to carry a little bit of this blood meal down inside the bale every time we water.
Thanks for that call, Stella. And let's go to Steve in Waterford next. Hi, Steve.
Hi. My question is, and he has partially answered it, I wondered if you were planting seeds or planting little plants in the bale, because I start my tomatoes and have them growing by the time the garden season comes around.
Yeah, if you're this far north, you better do that. You better start them from seed ahead of time. So, yes, you definitely can do transplants. If you transplant, I want you to take the plant out of the pot. Sometimes when you go to the garden centers these days, they'll sell you these peat pots that the vegetables come in. I'm not a big fan of those peat pots. I like to take my garden shears and cut those off and sort of carefully peel them away and then plant that root ball that came with my vegetables, put all that right down into the bale. You need to make a hole in the bale. Now, some of the bales you're going to buy are really tightly bound. If the farmer has a big baler that makes really tight bales, it can be hard to make a hole down inside those bales. You can't really take a spade and dig a hole in there because that straw is hard to dig through. So what seems to work best that I've found is to use a pliers, just a common kitchen pliers, and you pull a couple of plierfuls of straw out of the bale, and then you can easily, with your fingers, you can pull a little bit more straw out to get a hole big enough to put that tomato transplant down in there. And then if you're doing from seed, I want you to make a seed bed on top of the bales and then use the in-the-row spacing on the back of the seed pack, but I don't want you to plant rows. I want you to plant like a checkerboard on top of that bale. So like every white square on a checkerboard. And that's a good amount of spacing for your peas and beans and things like that you're going to plant, and your radish and other things.
Well, I've had 40 years of veterinary experience, so I know a lot of farmers, so I can get some bales.
Well, you'll have to make some calls and call in some favors.
Exactly. And Steve, you might be able to set up a little secondary business there for all the people that are looking for those bales, too. Tomatoes, not surprisingly, one of the most popular things that people grow. And Diane in Athens has a tomato comment also. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I planted beans and pole beans in one of my bales last year, and last year was the first time that I have ever done this, and I had really good success with the beans, a lot of beans. But I planted a tomato in the bale next to it, and it had really nice tomatoes on, and then it just kind of went dormant. It just didn't really do anything. And just a few feet away, I had tomatoes maturing in the garden, in a conventional garden, and they did real well, but the other tomato just kind of, I don't know what happened to it. Did I do something wrong?
More than likely, Diane, your tomato got the blight, as we call it, the blight. It's either Septoria leaf spot or verticillium wilt, and it's a fungal disease that somehow was in your tomato. Now, it could have come with the tomato when you purchased it at the garden center. Sometimes, unfortunately, they're not careful about keeping tomatoes separated and using sterile soil and et cetera when they're planting. So sometimes they come pre-infected, and other times it picks up the infection. Usually it's soil-borne, so you could have a splotch of soil in your garden that had some fungal disease, and for some reason that soil came in contact with that tomato. If you get a branch low down on the plant that bends over and touches the ground, and that soil happens to be infected with the fungal disease, it can pick it up real easily. What also can happen is you're pruning on your tomato, maybe trying to get rid of some of the unproductive branching on the tomato, and you drop your pruning shears on the soil, and you pick it up, and you prune your tomato again with it. Now that it's touched the soil, it can have those fungal spores on it. So we need to be really careful never to transfer any of the fungal spores that pre-exist in our soil up to the top of that straw bale, because that's probably where it comes from. It could have been a varietal difference, too. You know, some varieties of tomatoes are much more susceptible to the blight, the fungal diseases, than others are. So that could have been an issue, too. It may have been that all of your tomatoes had fungal disease present, but the one in the bales happened to be more susceptible. That's always a possibility. But I would try it again. I get a lot of reports from people all around the world, and their most success comes with tomatoes. It's the number one crop that they have the most success with. I always tell people, try to convince them, if you've never grown anything in a garden, you have to try a couple of heirloom tomatoes.
Yes.
Because they are the greatest thing. And I often tell people, if you don't know what an heirloom tomato is because you've never tasted one, it's possibly because you've never grown one, because people don't grow heirlooms and give them away. They eat them themselves.
Right.
And you can't go to a farmer's market or a grocery store and buy an heirloom tomato. The skins are very thin, and if you put them in a box and try to drive them across town and bring them to a market, by the time you get there, the skins will be broken open because they're very thin, which is what makes them so palatable and so delicious. So if you have never grown heirloom tomatoes, get your hands on some seed stock or some bedding plants and grow some heirlooms. You'll really be impressed by what they taste like.
They're and certainly wonderful. One of the most wonderful resources for that is right here in the Midwest in Iowa, Seed Savers Exchange. And they have wonderful heirloom varieties of all kinds of vegetables. And that's seedsavers.com. www.farmbeans.org, and they have a farm you can visit. It's really a great resource. We have just a couple minutes before the news is coming up. Joel will be with us right up until 12:30 today, which is a real treat. We've had questions about where to find your book. It is available in bookstores online, and actually, Joel, I saw it at a garden store this weekend at a nursery.
Yeah, I'm fortunate to have lots of garden centers and nurseries that carry the book now, mainly because they want to sell straw bales and sell all the other things. It's a great introduction to gardening for people. So, you know, if people get their hands on this book, who knows what they're going to end up planting in the years to come? You know, if they get a little taste of success, you never know what happens. So,
have you had people grow flowers, annual flowers?
Absolutely. Flowers do really well. The other thing you'll love is summer bulbs. So we don't have to dig holes and plant our dahlias and plant our gladiolus. And then in the fall, we got to dig those bulbs back up to keep them. You just condition your bale and you shove the bulbs right down in there. And they do marvelously well out of that straw bale. And I use them as cut flowers. So cut the glads or cut the dahlias or whatever to use them. The other one that does really well is caladiums do really well in there. And then use those to make vases and, you know, flower vases for the house. And then in the fall, you come along and cut that bale open, and your 50 gladiolus that you planted in there, those have become 150 bulbs because they all treplicate inside the bale. So it's a great way to grow and reproduce summer bulbs as well.
That's great. In just the half a minute or so, I want to read a comment from Robert on Facebook. He says, we planted our first straw bale garden today. Once the weather warmed up, the temp inside the bale shot up to 100 plus degrees, just like you were saying, Joel. He says they planted tomatoes, eggplant, kohlrabi, beans, beets, and onions. Can't wait to see the results. And he posted a picture, and there's mulch, white mulch in between the bale rows. And he says it's shredded office paper.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
So lots of great stuff to see on the Facebook page. And as I said, Joel will be with us right up until 12:30 after this quick look at the news from NPR and WPR. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson sitting in for Larry Mueller. Happy to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller and enjoying an extra dose of talk about gardening this week. This is certainly the time of year that upper Midwestern gardeners kind of live for and wait for when weather finally warms up and we can get things in the ground. And it seems like we go from way too cold to, oh my gosh, I'm behind already. And one of the great ways that has kind of emerged and become really popular in the last few years of growing vegetables especially is straw bale gardening. And we talked about it a couple times last year, and there was so much interest and a lot of questions coming up that we really wanted to have Joel Karsten back on. And he is with us today from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio. Joel wrote the book literally and figuratively on straw bale gardening. It's called Straw Bale Gardens, the Breakthrough Method for Growing Vegetables Anywhere, Earlier, and with No Weeding. And Joel, thanks again for spending time with us.
It's really great to be with you, Judith. I appreciate it.
Well, and I hope that you get a thrill out of so many people being so interested in this system that you've worked out.
I just love it. Sometimes I get emails and actually handwritten letters from people that are just so nice and so touching that it really makes a big guy like me, you know, appreciate you know, the emotion that people write me with is really great.
Well, you know, one of the big things about any kind of gardening is watering. And Anne in Green Bay had a follow-up question to how and when and how much to water. So let's go back to the phones right away. Anne, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for all the great information. I'm starting with 5 bales this year, and I'm so excited. Again, thanks for your information.
Sure.
I'm wondering, because I work for a landscaper, if I can use a rain gauge, and if it waters it rains a certain amount, if that equates watering the hay bale or the straw bales, or if they need more water than normal ground does.
That's a good question. So, you know, obviously every growing season is a little different. 2 years ago, we had a horrible drought. You know, Joel, how do we know how much the bales are getting just from regular rainfall and how much we need to supplement that?
Well, certainly if you got rain overnight, you could hit the skip cycle button on your automatic waterer, or if you're doing it by hand, just don't water for a day or two. And you'll be able to tell. I mean, I like to put an indicator plant in my straw bale garden, and what I use for my indicator plant is an impatient flower because they're very shallow rooted and they get droopy as soon as their roots get a little dry. So if you put one of those where you can see it out of your kitchen window, on the edge of your straw bale garden somewhere, and when you look out the window, if that impatient flower looks a little droopy, you know your garden needs water right away. In terms of overall water consumption, I tell people, you know, we're not watering the space between the rows, so we're just putting water on the roots, and we're really watering more often, but for less time when we water. So if Ann has 5 bales, I would really recommend 5 or 6 minutes of water. And in the spring and fall, when there's not a lot of heat, every other day is going to be plenty. Sometimes every 3 days is enough. But then when the heat starts to set in at the end of June, the beginning of July, and your plants start to get bigger, you know, if you're trying to water a tomato that's juicing 60 or 70 big old tomatoes hanging up on that vine, that takes a lot of water. Mm-hmm. So 3 or 4 gallons of water out of that bale is going to get sucked out every day. So you're going to need to water on a more consistent basis. But overall, I don't think it takes any more water in terms of overall volume for a straw bale garden. It's just you need water more often. But less amounts when you put it on, just to saturate the roots only.
It actually sounds similar to the watering needs for a container garden.
Very much so.
Because yes. Those do dry out a little faster. And like you said, especially heavy feeders like tomatoes, and when they're, you know, in full swing of production, you really sometimes, I mean, a couple of years ago, I have a lot of containers because of black walnut trees nearby. And I was having to water tomatoes twice a day some of those really hot days.
Yeah, it can happen for sure. And the same thing with straw bales. If you get wilting in the afternoon and you've got an automated timer anyway, that's what I tell you, it's the greatest invention ever, is those little automated timers. You can set it so it'll go off, you know, 5 minutes in the morning and then 2 or 3 minutes in the afternoon just to syringe those bales a little bit and make sure the roots stay nice and moist. And vegetables like consistent moisture. They don't like to be really wet and then get really dry and then get really wet. They like to be consistently moist. And that's the environment you're going to see inside of a straw bale, which causes vegetables to produce more, to be, you know, more durable, more viable long term in the summer.
Thanks for that call, Ann. And I think, Joel, you might have a convert because on Facebook, Cesar said, if I already planted my vegetables, can I dig out the plants, pot them, get bales ready and replant, or should I wait and try next spring?
You know, I just try it next spring, Cesar. I appreciate your enthusiasm for sure. But you went through a lot of work already getting them planted, and you know, you're a little bit behind schedule. Not that you can't still do it. You certainly can. But you're a little bit behind schedule already this summer, and it's going to take you 8 or 10 days once you find the bales to get them ready to go. And then transplanting vegetables multiple times is hard on vegetables. Don't like to have their roots disturbed at all. They're not like perennials and other annual flowers that you buy where, you know, you can smack the roots around and it doesn't really hurt them much. Vegetables don't like to have their roots disturbed a whole lot. Mm-hmm. It sets them back for, you know, several days. It takes them to recover from being transplanted. So I really wouldn't recommend it, but just try it next spring. You'll still be part of the new wave. Believe me, when you put straw bales in your yard, you get a lot of questions from neighbors because not everybody knows about this method of gardening. And sometimes they think your cheese has slipped off your cracker a little bit, but it's kind of fun because you end up teaching, you know, right along with you learning how to do straw bale gardening, you end up teaching a bunch of people as well, teaching your neighbors. And that can be part of the fun of the process as well.
On the other hand, if Cesar really wanted to try maybe 1 or 2 bales and get them conditioning right away, maybe he could actually get different plants and put them in there and almost do kind of a comparison of the two.
That would be a good idea. He certainly could do that. He could get a couple of bales and get those going right away and get some additional tomatoes or whatever from the garden center rather than transplanting his. I just hate to see him dig those up.
Right, that stress. Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
And we've had several questions, actually, of people who say either they've already tried to find straw bales in their area and haven't been successful or just have no idea where to start. You've mentioned going right to farmers, but I think for a lot of people, that's probably not an option. What are kind of some of the checklist of where you might be able to find straw bales?
Well, I just want to start with your friendly neighborhood garden center, because usually even if they don't have them in stock, they'll have some connections, or your local nursery. You know, a good place that I found is Craigslist. A lot of farmers will advertise their stuff for sale, including straw bales, on Craigslist. That's a good place. We started a website about, just about a year ago called strawbalemarket.com, which is a free website for anybody who has bales to sell or is interested in buying bales. And you'll see you go there and there's a map with little dots and you can find the dot that's closest to where you live. Now, part of the problem is there's not a ton of people there yet selling bales because it's just growing. Mm-hmm. It's a new website. And there's a lot more demand on there for straw bales than there is supply. So, but in Wisconsin, you'd be surprised. You'll find some ads that have been listed on there for people in sort of more remote areas of Wisconsin. So depending on, you know, where your listener is at, they might be able to find success on strawbalemarket.com as well.
Great. And that's strawbalemarket, all spelled out, .com.
Yep.
Oh, great.
That's right.
Patty emailed and says, I started last year with this method but didn't finish the process. I have the straw bales in place from last year and began to treat them with fertilizer just once last year. They're still out back and I want to finish the process. Can I use these bales this year? Most are pretty intact. And he says, can I just begin again and apply the fertilizer, wet them, etc.?
Absolutely. He can probably can plant in those right now without putting any more fertilizer on them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they've been conditioned for a year by Mother Nature. So there's a lot of bacteria growth inside there. And that's really what we're putting the fertilizer on for, remember, is to build up bacteria. So Mother Nature's done that job while those bales have sat idle and gotten rained on over the last year. So you should be able to plant right in there. And then just look if you get any yellowing at all in any of your plants. That probably just means you're lacking nitrogen. So use a little liquid. If you're organic, use a little fish emulsion. If you're a traditional gardener, a little of the magic blue water. That always perks things up in a hurry. The fancy liquid fertilizer, that always works good.
And then Paul had an email. What happens if you did not have time to pre-treat straw? My daughter has 7 bales, and they were outside for 6 weeks with no fertilizer treatment, moist but no nitrogen applied.
Well, you get what's called a nitrogen sink problem in the bales, which is where the bacteria haven't colonized the bale, so they're hungry and they're looking for a source of nitrogen. More than likely, when you put plants in there, those bacteria are going to eat the soil around those plants or eat the roots of the plants themselves as a source of nitrogen, because that's their natural instinct in order to colonize the bale. So it's very likely. I get these emails every once in a while. I tried straw bale gardening. Last week I bought a straw bale and I planted tomatoes in it, and this week they're all dead. It doesn't work. And I write them back and I say, well, you know, you need to condition the bale first. If you skip that process, Mother Nature is going to kill the plants you put in there because the bacteria are going to eat those plants as their source of nitrogen. Bacteria have one goal in their whole life, and that's to reproduce themselves. And they'll access nitrogen from wherever they can get it in order to do that process. If you lay them on the ground, they'll suck nitrogen right out of the ground below the bales. So the best way to do it is put some fertilizer on there and artificially feed that bacteria so that it grows very quickly. You know, you're kind of at a point where you've had them outside for 6 weeks, where there's probably some early conditioning that's happened inside the bale, but I really would dose them with some nitrogen, or it's very likely when you put plants in there, you're not going to have great success. And that will be the reason why, is because the nitrogen sink problem inside that bale.
And let's go back to the phones and Richard in Green Bay. Hi, Richard.
Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
Last year I planted about 4 or 5 hay bales and had a pretty good success, straw bales. This year I went all the way up to 15, and just this morning I went out and about 8 of them are completely engulfed in mushrooms.
Mm. Oh,
and,
that's a common
occurrence,
Richard.
We were going to pitch them, basically. But
no.
Well, Joel says no. Joel,
no,
what would you
no,
do?
Don't throw them away, Richard. That's a good sign when you see mushrooms. You were probably in the minority last year if your bales didn't get mushrooms on them last year. Usually bales will get some mushrooms. We have a big Facebook page as well. I just posted a time-lapse image of overnight what happened to someone's straw bales in terms of mushroom growth. And you can see these mushrooms that just grow out of the bales overnight. They get 3, 4, 5 inches tall. Then the next day when the sun comes out, they sort of dissipate and smash down, and then the next morning they grow back again.
Wow.
And this is a good sign. When you see mushrooms growing, it's Mother Nature's signal to you that the inside of this substrate is decomposing. That's why you'll see mushrooms on the outsides of stumps and other places. The inside is decomposing. The signal of that is she'll send a mushroom up to the surface. Now, sometimes it can be engulfing, where the whole bale is literally coated in mushrooms. And the only difficulty there is if you're planting from seeds, sometimes it'll push your little seedlings right out of the bale. So you got to take your hand and kind of smash those mushrooms down on top of the bale. But just think about those mushrooms as helping to compost the inside of that bale.
All
so
right.
Definitely don't throw them away.
Nothing dangerous about that. We had sent a picture to your Facebook.
Yep, it's posted up there, and that's quite a little mushroom forest you've got going
yeah.
there.
No, there's nothing.
I was always worried if they were dangerous. I mean, if I start picking like lettuce and I get some mushroom stuff in there, if they're not.
Well, you'll see they'll disappear. Yeah, they will disappear probably within a couple of weeks. Usually you'll go out there some morning and you'll say, what happened to my mushrooms? They disappeared as quickly as they showed up. So usually overnight, some night, they'll just stop coming. And, you know, if you did get some on your lettuce, I would just encourage you to wash it off. But there's nothing, you know, most of these mushrooms are going to be what we call ink toppers, where if you touch them, you'll see it's like almost like black ink on anything around it. But they won't hurt anything. They're not, you know, they're certainly not appetizing, but they're not poisonous either. So,
well, and I'm also thinking, Joel, mushrooms usually grow in very moist and shady areas, and most straw bales are going to be in full sun or mostly
right.
full sun. So probably not, the mushrooms are not going to last long term for that reason either.
Right. Yeah. They disappear after a few weeks, from my experience at least.
All right. Stick around. Well, thanks for that call, Richard, and glad we could stop you before you got rid of those bales. Let's go to Manitowoc and Thomas. Hi, Thomas.
Hello. I got my bales last year after hearing your show. I put them on the ground last fall. And I thought I'd try a little experiment to try to hold the moisture in more. So I took the soil and I mounded it up against like the bottom a third of the bales. And then I put a lot of loose chaff straw over the top of that. Have you ever tried experimenting with that, Joel, to try to get your roots to expand out of the bale a little bit more and into the ground?
I haven't actually done that. I have started a few bales, like if I'm going to make a permanent patch for my asparagus or rhubarb, I'll condition the bales and then I bury a third of the bale in the ground in order to, so that when that bale decomposes, I have a raspberry patch or a rhubarb patch or asparagus that's level with the ground as that bale decomposes. But I haven't tried mounding up around it. That's very interesting. I'd love to see what your results are and love to hear what you come up with from that. If it seems like it is helping with saving moisture and giving a place for, you know, usually the roots will grow all the way out the bottom on your big plants like tomatoes mm-hmm. that have really deep roots. If you put it on top of nice soil, the roots will grow all the way through the bale and then they'll grow down into the soil a little bit. Not that you have to have soil underneath. The roots will just turn and go back up mm-hmm. into the bale. But if you have it on nice soil, usually it'll just go right down into the soil. But I'd be curious to see what happens with that. That'd be keep me informed. I'd love to
yeah,
know.
Yeah, keep us posted on that, Thomas. And what you were saying, Joel, about it doesn't have to go into the ground. Sometimes you don't want it to, like in the case of if you're doing straw bale gardening in a place where black walnuts have affected
right.
the soil, you don't want those tomatoes to go under there.
Yeah, it sounds like you have that problem.
I do. It's kind of the bane of my existence. And they're not even my trees, so there's not a whole lot I can do about them. But actually, Joel, you brought up something that I wanted to ask about. That's perennial crops like asparagus or strawberries, rhubarb, things like that. So it sounds like you can do those and at least start them in a straw bale garden.
Yeah, just use the bale to establish the plot. But you know, remember that in 3 years, your bale is going to be nothing but a little lump of soil. That's all that will be left in your garden if you left it there. So, you know, you're never going to harvest asparagus from that raised height or the rhubarb from that raised height of a straw bale, because by the time it's ready to harvest, you know, it takes 2 or 3 years just to get a root established for those perennial type plants. By that time, your bale is completely disintegrated.
Mm-hmm. One thing that a couple people have asked is, what do you do with the bales at the end of the season?
Oh, they make absolutely beautiful potting mix the next year. And very often you'll see when you get done using them for the first season, if the bale is still pretty much intact, it's still kind of holding its shape, what works well is to cut the plants off. Don't pull your tomatoes out and your peppers out. Just cut the plants off and use it a second season to plant your root crops. So you can put your potatoes and your carrots and things in that second season. If you plant those root crops in a first season bale, when you go to harvest your potatoes, of course, you have to cut the bale open to get the potatoes out. So then your bale completely falls apart. But if you do plants the first season that you harvest from outside the bale, and then the second season, plant things in the bale that you harvest from inside the bale. So all of your carrots and potatoes and root, all of your root crops, beets, etc. That's sort of a good rotation to get into. So now you have bring in 10 new ones, and you have 10 second-year bales, and then you have 10 that have completely decomposed. You kind of pile those up into a little pile, leave them over the next winter, and then use them to fill all your flower pots and your window boxes because they make beautiful potting mix at that point.
Wow. And one thing, Joel, that I think might not be obvious to people as they're just kind of thinking about it is that you're not just using the top of the bale. You can actually plant on three sides if it's a freestanding bale.
Yeah, yeah, I plant the sides, the ends, the top. Anywhere you see open straw, you should be planting in there.
Actually, I guess I should have said five sides, not three
sides.
Yeah,
it makes it, you know, I tell people if you look out there on the 4th of July and you can still see straw bale, you don't have enough plants in there. You need to get out and stick something else in that bale. Sometimes that means flowers on the sides when you have tomatoes or something coming out the top if you want to make it look pretty. The other thing I love to do in the sides of my bales are my herbs. I stick my basil and parsley and all my different herbs right in the sides of the bales. It grows really well, and it's real easy to do with from a bedding plant. You know, if you're doing herbs from pre-started bedding plants, you can just use your shovel handle to sort of punch a hole in the side of that bale right between the two strings and then stick the root ball right in there, and it takes right off. So it works pretty slick.
And we also had a question that I think you've answered, but just to reiterate, this method can absolutely be done organically.
Oh, yes, 100%. You know, if you wanted to sell the produce that you produced in the bale as certified organic, then your hurdle is going to be finding organic straw to start out with.
But just for personal use, it's
for personal use, it you know, you just buy straw from your local farmer, which a lot of the straw today is really could probably be certified organic, but a lot of farmers don't go through all the paperwork to get their straw certified. Just ask them what they've used on it. If they haven't used any major chemicals on it, you're probably going to be fine. And then stick with organic fertilizer. So blood meal works really well. And then for phosphorus and potassium source, I always recommend bone meal. And just wood ashes works well. Just one cup of wood ashes on top of that bale. And that provides your nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium along with the decomposing straw, which is going to provide all your micronutrients and additional sources of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium.
And you also mentioned fish emulsion.
Yeah. During the summer, the liquid fish emulsion, I always call that the sort of the perk up fertilizer. So if things don't look perfect or you start to get any lime green coloration or, you know, just later in the season, you're going to see that nitrogen gets leached out of that bale from watering real often, that hitting it with a little fish emulsion really perks things up.
So always really we're going to continually keep feeding those plants just like we would other plants. In just a minute or so we have left, we also had a question. Jan in Vilas County is hearing a bubbling and crackling noise when she's watering. Does that mean that the bale's ready to plant?
Bubbling and crackling noise. I never heard of such a thing. I don't know what that could be, but I would think they're ready to plant. If she's been watering for 12 days and there's bubbling and crackling, there's got to be something happening inside of there.
All right. Well, there were other calls and emails and a lot of Facebook posts that we just couldn't get to in even an hour and a half with you, Joel. But in the last minute here, why don't you refresh people's memories of what your website is and the name of the book and what they can find in each?
The book is called Strawbale Gardens, and the website is strawbalegardens.com. You can also see us on Facebook at Learn to Grow Strawbale Garden. We have a pretty big following there. And if you do have questions, you're welcome to post a question. And either myself or we have lots of people who are experienced strawbale gardeners at this point that are on the page quite often.
Right.
And you might get an answer from me or from one of them.
That's great. And Joel, your last name is Karsten, K-A-R-S-T-E-N. So
that's
people
right,
can
yeah.
find you. Thank you so much for spending the time with us. It was really a pleasure.
Thank you, Judith. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks.
I appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Joel. Joel Karsten is the author of Straw Bale Gardens, the breakthrough method for growing vegetables anywhere, earlier, and with no weeding. It's a really fun technique. Well, coming up tomorrow at 11, Dr. Carrie Donahue joins us to talk about holistic pet care, especially summer concerns like motion sickness and staying calm with fireworks. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Thanks for listening.